All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. We're running a few minutes late, which I figured would happen. But we'll get through a little bit here. Are we good there? Okay. But we'll go ahead and get started. So if y'all could find a place to sit real quick. Keegan, come on, man. Come on. Yeah, not to call anybody out, but Keegan. So last week we went over observation and interpretation of Scripture. What does a passage literally say, and then what does that passage literally mean? So that's kind of the bare bones of a passage of Scripture. That's the head knowledge portion. So this morning we're going to get into the application. What does that then mean for me? We know what the Scripture says, but then how do I apply that to me on a daily basis? That's where the rubber meets the road. This is a whole lot more important lesson than last week would be. Application is where we grow. And application, it's you run across it every single day. I'm a huge sports fan, especially hockey. To me, hockey is the best sport. You can have another opinion, but you're just wrong, all right? So hockey is the best. I grew up as a missionary kid in Canada for several years, so obviously hockey is the thing. And during the winter, we were about two blocks away from a full-size outdoor rink, which we usually had snow on the ground from September to about mid-May. So we had like 7 months where, I mean, every afternoon we'd walk over to the outdoor rink and we played hockey. But what does every good athlete or coach, what makes them effective? What makes them good? It's application of the knowledge they've got. You can know all the X's and O's of your sport. You can understand all the fundamentals of power skating and all this stuff that comes along with hockey, but if you don't apply it in a real situation, you're never going to be that good of a hockey player. And the same is true with Scripture. So could I have somebody read James 1, 22 to 24? Whoever gets there first, just go ahead and start. James 1, 22 to 24.
By being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
This is a perfect passage on our responsibility as a Christian. It's not just our job to show up on church on Sundays and hear a good message, but you have to be an active participant in what you're hearing, in what you're reading. God's given us the Holy Spirit to aid in that. When you're reading a passage of Scripture, He's giving you a help in applying it where you can actually be an active doer. And then verse 24, it says, someone who hears the word but doesn't apply it, it's like a man who looks in a mirror, sees what he looks like, and then doesn't do anything about it. And you can usually tell the people on Sundays who've done that, right? It stands out when someone who's not applying what they're seeing and making a change from it. We don't want to be the person who looks at themselves in the mirror first thing in the morning. We don't want to be the equivalent of that in our Christian walks. We want to take it from head knowledge to heart knowledge. And that's something that me personally, that's been more of a more recent area of growth in my life. Because again, I did grow up as a missionary kid, as a pastor's kid. I knew a lot of Bible knowledge. You know, very rarely could someone beat me in a Bible quiz. But that's kind of the extent of where it stopped. It's more recently, since getting married, where I've started to turn that into more, okay, I need to live out now what I know. Unless we apply what we see in Scripture to our lives, we're not actually accomplishing anything of value. At that point, we're just ticking off a box on the to-do list with our personal Scripture. or personal reading. What is God trying to teach me about himself or myself, and what will I do differently today because of this text? That's a good starting point. When you get into a passage of Scripture, be looking to answer those two questions. Is God trying to teach me more about myself in this passage, something where I can grow, or something more about him? What are some reasons why we may struggle to apply Scripture to our lives? Maybe not understanding the passage clearly. That would go back to last week. Maybe there's a lack of observation or interpretation. You haven't put in the legwork yet to determine and really dig out what is this passage saying. Maybe you misunderstood a word here or there and it skewed that interpretation, where then the application may fall short. Maybe you've not built in enough time for personal reflection in that reading. Or you have an unwillingness to confront personal sin. Maybe you have a secret sin. Obviously, God knows what it is. And you've not openly confessed that back to him. That'll skew your ability to apply Scripture. Applying Scripture only individually. It helps to get in a group and discuss Scripture, because someone else may have a realization that maybe you missed, and you get a better, fuller picture of that passage, or a lack of self-awareness or honesty about ourselves. You're not looking at yourself in a mirror. You're reading a passage of Scripture, and rather than looking for a personal application, you're going, oh, you know who really needs this? So-and-so in church. It's not doing you a lot of good when you're taking your personal application and applying it to everybody else but yourselves. Questions that may help with applying Scripture. We're going to move pretty fast. I don't know about you, but I want to eat some food. So we're going to move through all this pretty quickly today. Questions that may help in applying a passage of Scripture. Does this passage reveal sin that I need to confess? There it goes back to the transparency, the honesty with ourselves. I'm reading through this passage of Scripture. Is it pointing out something that the Holy Spirit is pricking on my heart? Take care of it right there. Does it command me to obey something? Is there something in this passage of Scripture that God is giving a clear directive on, and it's something that I can then apply or follow from this point forward? Is it an encouragement or a comforting passage? The Psalms are great at that. Reading through a psalm, is there something in here that God's trying to just, you know, prop me up with? Maybe I need, sometimes that's a great devotional time when you get in, because sometimes I know in my own devotions, I'll read a passage and it's like, oh yeah, I'm wicked. I need to work on this. Oh, you're right, I'm short here. Well, sometimes it's a nice reprieve when you get into a personal devotional time and it's God just saying, hey, you know, he's closer than a brother. My dad has a great illustration that I will never leave thee. Very simple, and it's, you got God's hand, you're on the inside, it's, I will never leave thee. And it's little things like that. I come across these little passages where something will just stick out to me, a little phrase, a little nugget, and it's just encouraging. Does it teach me something about God's character? Am I learning more about God in this passage, or something about, again, myself that I should be picking up on? How can I share then or model this truth for others? These are just, what is that, five little questions that you can go into, maybe have on a little note card as you're there reading your passage of Scripture, that you can apply these questions as you're reading through. All Scripture, it says, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. These questions, when Scripture speaks, God speaks. That passage which we read about last week, all Scripture, it doesn't matter where you are in a passage, even some of those harder passages, there's something in there that those questions can help you pull out and apply to your daily life. I think of, what's a hard passage? Genealogies. Genealogies can be a really, especially if you're reading through the Bible, you've got to read through the genealogies in order to read through the Bible. Well, what are some personal applications that maybe you could pull from a genealogy? I'm actually genuinely curious what some of your answers would be. I've got my own answer, but I'm curious what some of your answers would be. You're reading through a genealogy. Say you go through a full chapter in an Old Testament passage, and it's this guy begat this guy, this guy begat this guy. He lived so many years, and it goes on like that forever. Or a listing of people, like when the people were numbered and things like that. What's maybe something, when you've read across, read a passage, what's an application you've been able to pull from a genealogy?
God's interested in the individual because he's using names.
That's actually brilliant. I'd never even thought of that as well. That's not the applications I've pulled. But that's, God felt it important enough to list these people by name. Every single one of those people meant something to God. Anybody else? A hard passage like a genealogy? What's a personal application you've maybe personally pulled? Uses less than perfect people.
Also that he treats the sexes the same because there's females listed in.
Okay. If you didn't pick up on that, Jack said he treats the sexes the same. God shows no preference. There's men and women mentioned in genealogies. God uses everybody. Even those who maybe we consider to be of less value, God can use everybody. Personal application I pulled from a genealogy, God's a God of order. I think that's important. God is very detailed. He goes into a lot of detail in the genealogies. It's important for God. He wanted to make sure everyone was on the same page. My life verse is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God and not unto man. And I think that's important with things like a genealogy. Let me see here. I've got a lot of chicken. I've got more scratch notes on my paper this time or on my iPad this time, so I'm getting lost in my notes a little bit better, which is a good thing. Some guidelines, maybe some aids, other things to keep in mind when trying to apply Scripture personally. So again, you've read through the passage. Okay, now what do you do with it? Pray for spiritual insight. We talked about that last week. Remember we talked about soap? And I said, remember, soap? Begin and end with prayer in your personal time. And then make time to think. Biblical meditation. I think the word meditation scares a lot of people because they think of Eastern meditation. Well, there's a big difference. I'd say, you know, Eastern meditation, you're trying to empty your mind. Biblical meditation, you're trying to fill your mind with God. The word meditation in Scripture, when often used, it has the connotation, the Greek word has the connotation of muttering, or I've got it written here. What was muttering? Mutter or like chewing the cud. You think of a cow. He'll sit out there in the field and he's just, you know, chomping on something. Well, he's working on what he already ate. That's the perfect illustration of biblical meditation. Give yourself time to mull over in your mind what you've just read. Don't just read it, close it, say we're good to go, and go start breakfast. Right. Journaling is super helpful as well. Write what you're thinking as you're thinking it. Rather than jumping through Scripture, you have maybe a thought that comes to your mind. You're like, oh, that's good to remember. I want to make sure I think about that later on. Well, odds are within probably 10 or 15 minutes, unless you wrote it down, you're probably going to forget that little nugget. So write it down as you have that thought. And then it gives you something easier to come back to. And be like, hey, that was a really good, I'm glad that God brought that to my mind. What I think of when I think of journaling or writing as you're thinking, in school, I don't know if you ever took like a creative writing class, brainstorming, which I hated that part of writing, but brainstorming is super important. You have a topic and you write down everything you can think of about that topic as you're maybe researching or things like that, and it gives you a big channel of notes that you can then go back to and sort out and glean a lot more from. And then talk to someone else. Growth groups. I think growth groups are huge for this, especially the growth groups that will review pastor's message from Sunday, because hopefully you've already gone back through and gone over maybe notes you took for church in preparation for your growth group. And you can come in and with others discuss a passage of Scripture and glean a lot more from it. Mike Whitehead, he was awesome at this because he would go through and rewatch Sunday morning sermon almost every day during the week. And so he could probably preach it back to you by Friday. He was great at going back through and refreshing it before growth groups, that he could come to growth group ready and prepared to share what God spoke to him through that passage and then hopefully help others understand it as well. And then, listen, find other Christian sermons, devotional books on those same topics. I mentioned last week, let Scripture interpret Scripture. Your Bible is the best commentary on itself, but that doesn't mean you don't use other aids. Find other sermons, devotional books on maybe the passage that you're working on, and it helps you bring a lot more application. Again, maybe missing something that on your first read-through. What are some other practical aids that you all have found help in applying Scripture in your own life, or gleaning more out of a passage of Scripture? Maybe something beyond what I've mentioned here. And again, I am genuinely curious, because odds are I'm probably going to be teaching this again in a couple years. So the more content I can have, I'd appreciate it. So I want to learn from you all as well. What are some practical tips or aids that you've implemented in your own personal devotional time?
Podcasts.
So similar to the sermons. Finding podcasts are great. I listen to podcasts all day. I drive a lot for work, so I have podcasts going all day long. It's a great way to get additional biblical instruction while you're driving around. Anyone else? Nobody else has ever applied Scripture in their lives in a unique way. All right. There we go.
Because when I read certain scripture and I share with my friends, like when you go walking, guess what I read today? But now that I shared with a friend, it makes me more accountable, because not only have I read it, but now they know I've read it and they know what I got out of it. So it kind of makes the accountability more important because I've shared
what I've you don't know. In 2 weeks they come back and be like, hey, how is that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. The other thing with talking with someone else as well is it forces you to learn more from it. They say if you want to learn a topic really well, teach it. Be forced to share it with somebody else, because it forces you to put a lot more time and effort into whatever it is. And then finally, what it all boils down to, don't read and leave unchanged. That's ultimately the goal. You can spend a lot of wasted time reading Scripture and it accomplish absolutely nothing, because you have not prepared yourself for whatever God has for you. Again, prayer. And then look for, you know, we had several questions. Look for what God is trying to teach me. There's something, again, all Scripture is profitable. God has something. Every time we open God's Word, if we are prepared for it, we can learn something. A Puritan pastor, I believe this was back 1600s, Thomas Watson, the reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. A lot of folks say, well, I read my Bible every day. I go to church. Just, you know, I don't really see any growth. Well, that's because you're not putting in a little bit of legwork. There's a personal application, personal biblical meditation, mulling over it, trying to squeeze every little bit of knowledge out of a scripture. I promise you, if you put in a little bit more effort, you're going to start seeing results. And again, this is newer for me. I've been working on this a lot. My wife holds me accountable. She's much more consistent in her personal Bible study than I am. And it's a great reminder to myself. This is, again, I'm learning along with you all. But I've seen in my own life, when I come prepared to church, when I come prepared to my personal devotions, I glean a lot more. And ultimately, hopefully then, I can go and share that with others, or others can see that in me. Ultimately, I want to be other people to see that I'm a Christian just by the way I live. The Bible has that opportunity to transform us. Last week, I mentioned Acts is my favorite book in the Bible. And Acts 11, it says that the believers at Antioch were called Christians for the first time. And I actually had a whole message on this that I used to travel and speak with. That is a huge honor, or it could also be a huge challenge. So the people at Antioch, the early believers, were called Christians there at the first time. They did not call themselves Christians. If you're familiar with the passage, it was actually the unbelievers in Antioch saw these believers. At that time, they would just refer to themselves as people of the way or something like that. But the unbelievers in Antioch saw these young Christians, the way they lived, because they were applying scripture to their daily lives, and said, well, you're just a little Christ. You're just a Christian. And those early believers were like, that's right, I am, and that's even a better term for myself. And they took it on as a badge of honor. I hope that can be said the same for each of us. All right, let's pray. Dearly Father, thank you for allowing us all to be together this morning. Thank you as well for this time of year and the fellowship we get to all have. Thank you as well for the message from Pastor this morning about making sure our theology is right. It goes perfectly along with application of Scripture and trying to understand who you are and you're showing your character through your word. Be with us all now as we enjoy this meal and just remember all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.